What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I think it's safe to say the Big 12 is not having brunch with Notre Dame anytime soon. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Thanks for joining us here on the show. Make sure you like the video. You are subscribed to the channel if you're a Big 12 or a college football fan. So Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, just absolutely torched Notre Dame, the athletic director, and the way that this process has been handled over the last few days. If you didn't see this, this is a thing of beauty from Brett Yormark. Oh my goodness. The Big 12 commissioner made these comments Tuesday night at the International Association of Football event. And here's what it sounded like, courtesy of the Sports Business Journal on X.
I will say this, and I'm a little outspoken about it. I don't like how Notre Dame's reacted to it.
So, okay, I think
Pete's his behavior has been egregious. It's been egregious going after Jim Phillips when they saved Notre Dame during COVID. We all knew, and it was very transparent. Hunter was very transparent about it, the chair, that as Notre Dame and Miami got closer together, head-to-head would be a factor. Okay, BYU lost. They became closer together, head-to-head, and made a difference in that decision. So I think he is totally out of bounds in his approach. And if he was in the room, I'd tell him the same thing.
That's my commissioner, baby. Let's go. Now, a couple of things there that Yormark said. He's absolutely right to note that the actions of the Notre Dame athletic director have been egregious. Not playing a bowl game, taking the ball, going home, basically quitting before the season's over because you don't like what the College Football Playoff Committee did, has been a pathetic display of sportsmanship by Notre Dame. We won't call them the Fighting Irish anymore. We'll call them the No-Show Irish because that's what they are, the No-Show Irish, okay? But Yormark's the guy who's got the balls to say what he just said. No one else is willing to say that. Now, does it mean that the 0.2% chance of Notre Dame ever joining the Big 12 is out the window? Yeah, it's probably down to 0.02. Maybe throw in another zero. It might be 0.002. All right? No doubt about it. That ship has sailed. That ain't happening. But someone needed to say it. Notre Dame's acting like the bully in the schoolyard that nobody is willing to stand up to. And Brett Yormark just did. Brett Yormark said, first off, guys, this league, ACC, helped bail you out during COVID, helped you cobble together a schedule. They've been good to you in many respects. They're a fit for you academically, which I know is important to the ACC. And guess what? The ACC is obviously going to lobby for one of its full-time members who has a head-to-head win over Notre Dame instead of you guys. What did you expect? If Miami and Notre Dame had not played, maybe the Irish have an argument. But that's not what's been going on here. They've got a head-to-head. You lost the game. What more do you have to say about all this? So Yormark saying what he said on Tuesday night just blew me away. He's standing up for a fellow commissioner in Jim Phillips, which somewhat surprised me because we know that if the Big 12 had an opportunity to poach some teams from the ACC, there's no doubt I think Yormark would do it, but he's standing up for a fellow commissioner. And let's be honest, what Yormark is also doing here in that clip, and Brett Yormark doesn't just say things off the cuff. He knew exactly what he wanted to say when he made these comments, all right? Carefully crafted. He's also standing up for his TV partners, ESPN, and to a lesser degree, Fox, more so ESPN. He's standing up for what is still the biggest TV partner in the Big 12, ESPN. because ESPN has taken all the slings and the arrows from Notre Dame, from the AD, from everybody involved. And trust me, I am not here. I mean, this website, Heartland College Sports, as a show, as a website, when it began as a blog 11 years ago with me and a laptop with no audience, it was because I was disgusted with how ESPN covered the sport and how back then it had incredible bias towards the SEC. So I've been on that. That being said, I'm still more ticked off at how ESPN has treated BYU throughout this process than Notre Dame. Notre Dame never had a conference championship game, didn't have the head-to-head over Miami, and was sitting there at 10-2 with a strength of schedule that was weaker than the teams that they were up against for one of these final college football playoff spots. BYU still has a bigger beef with ESPN, or should be allowed to have a bigger beef with ESPN, than Notre Dame. Notre Dame was at least in the conversation. BYU was never even treated like it was part of the conversation, unless they had won the Big 12 championship game. And that's something that I think has been lost in this conversation over the last few days. So a couple of things can be true here. Your Mark is calling out Notre Dame, which is great. That being said, the one thing that I'll disagree with Brett Yormark on is when he was talking about how the committee was very transparent and that as Notre Dame and Miami got closer, the head-to-head would be a factor. That was a joke from the College Football Playoff Committee. Miami should have been in front of Notre Dame long before it was. They should have been ahead of Notre Dame the last few weeks. The fact that we had to wait for basically the two teams to get closer in the rankings and then flip them because of the head-to-head is one of the many stupid things that this committee has done. So I respect what Brett Yormark is trying to get at. He's right from the standpoint of the committee has been transparent about how this is going to factor in, but there was no new data point or data points that suggested magically head-to-head was going to matter. Right. In fact, with the way the ACC played out with the joke of a championship game and the fact that the league just looks really down this year, by far the last of the Power Four conferences, you look at that and you could say, you know what? Screw them all. None of them deserve to be in. Miami, Notre Dame. I mean, you know, they've got an affiliation. Throw them all out. The schedule is a joke. The league's a joke. So why suddenly now they get closer together? In part because BYU loses to Texas Tech, and then it's like, all right, we're going to flip them now. Head-to-head suddenly matters. Miami's better. It's like, guys, nothing's really changed you over the last two, three, 4 weeks. What are you doing? So it is still incredibly fair to criticize the committee, criticize ESPN, and yes, then also blast Notre Dame. I think all three are in the wrong here in some respects in all this. And BYU is still the team that got screwed more than Notre Dame in the entire process. So there you go. But Brett Yormark putting Notre Dame, the athletic director, and the way the football program has handled this college football playoff controversy on blast is the thing that we all needed on Tuesday night that we did not even realize we needed on Tuesday night. Thank you for being here. I had to drop this emergency podcast episode and show. And glad you are joining us, as always, right here on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Please make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Make sure that you are here as we take you through the Big 12 happenings each and every day. The other big news item I just want to touch on here for a couple of minutes, Utah. If you didn't see the story, Utah ripped the Band-Aid off.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Utah is finalizing a deal with a private equity firm, Otro Capital, that could bring in up to $500 million. That is not a typo. Now, here's why this is smart for Utah. It's where the sport is trending. I hate that this is where the sport is trending, but this is where it's been trending. And one of the interesting things that I don't think got enough attention here in this entire process about what's been reported on Tuesday is the fact that what is allowed to happen here is that you will get big time donors who will be able to invest in an LLC that will be involved with the private equity firm. That's part of how this is going to work. Now, that fascinates me because basically what it's saying is that big time investors who are, let's say, alums of University of Utah will actually have equity in something. They won't just be cutting a check that then will go into the ether and will go to some kid's pocket and the kid will never send you a thank you note ever again or even know who you are. I saw Troy Aikman said something like this the other day. He was like, yeah, I gave UCLA some money, like a good check. I know who it went to. The kid never sent a thank you note. And then he went somewhere else after a year. I'm not doing that anymore. And I think eventually big money donors are going to be like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. Okay. So how do you get them enticed? Well, if you have private equity involved, if you have an LLC involved, that's going to be a new for-profit company called Utah Brands and Entertainment LLC that will operate as part of the university structure, but be outside of the athletic department. Suddenly you're actually investing in something. You're not just cutting checks to players where there's no return on that investment. Not saying there's an immediate return on this investment, but putting money into an LLC that is in a partnership with a private equity firm, and you could be potentially a minority owner in all this on a very low level, or maybe a big level, but on some level, suddenly that's intriguing to the very wealthy. Not just cutting checks and saying to 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, have a good time, thanks so much for your efforts, where they have absolutely no appeal or no desire to actually be on your university campus, which obviously you have when you're a big-time alum, right? You have that connection with your university. And it's what we all want our college athletes to have, but let's be honest, those days are over. It's just straight business now. And I think the wealthy are waking up to this in some respect. Like, people don't get rich being stupid. And there's an element to that where I think the rich alums are being like, you know, I'll do this for a little bit, but if I can pay 50 mil and get my name on a building, or I can give 50 mil to help out the football team win and no one knows who I am, I don't know. I might take the name on the building. Not sure about you. But now with Utah, you can invest in a for-profit LLC that's partnered with a private equity firm. That is a game changer. And there's nothing about this that I like for college athletics, but the sport is so jacked up right now. It is such a mess. It was only a matter of time. Somebody was going to rip off the Band-Aid, and it just so happens to be the Utah Utes. Now the question is, who's next and how does it go down? There's only so much private equity money to go around. There's 130 FBS teams. There's what, 60, 70 Power Four teams. Someone's going to get left out. And when they do, it's not going to be pretty for them either. Thank you, guys. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review if you're on the podcast. We saw some nice podcast reviews come in. Make sure you email those to me, PeteMundo@HeartlandCollegeSports.com. I'll hook you up with a koozie or something. Same thing on the YouTube channel. Subscribe, like it. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon. Go Big 12.